You might like to turn in your Bible to the last book in your Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And in Malachi, if we can, in chapter 3. And you'll note in our times together, we have sought to acquaint ourselves better with God, to understand his person, his work, that we might more exercise our relationship to God intelligently. And so in doing so, we spent a number of times on different names of God, all of them relating to unfolding, uncovering, revealing his person and his ability. So now, in just to remind us, here in Malachi and chapter 3, and you would recall, as we started to just remind ourselves with a little sequence about God. So we say God, God is who he is, he does what he does. We're in the presence of God, and therefore I want to remember God is holy, different. That's the word holy, holy, different. Jehovah-ness, he's different. He's the creator, and the creation you don't compare him with the creation. He is holy and different apart from all creation. He is who he is. So when you say he's holy, then God isn't saying compared to us, he's holy. He's holy, period, with no creation. That's who he is. And we need to exercise and separation or sanctification, as we'll look at perhaps, is not from something, from here, coming from back to him. Isn't going from, it's going to. God takes something in creation and gives it a special relationship to himself. And separation isn't from, it's to him. Now, with that in mind, and just running by very quickly to remind yourself that God and his wonderful person and presence, and by the way, as we do that, you are to be reminded, if you're a believer and know the Lord as your Savior, then you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. And you had to receive him, not just as however you understand him to be. If you understood, I received Jesus who died, and I have no sense of who I received. I know I need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as God. God died for me in Christ. Otherwise, I have a Jesus in my head and heart that isn't matching the book, then I'm not going to be saved. I want to have God in Christ. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received God, God's wonderful person, which we're looking, trying to understand better and better, more and more. We're understanding God's person. And that person, God, out all around me, is the same God that has moved into my own heart and life. And I have a unique oneness, God and me, God and you. Oneness. That's why Abraham didn't need an army or anything. He just was there. And God was protected. God was wholly different. And everyone could be crowding in upon him. And yet they couldn't crowd in at all. Come against him. You couldn't come against him at all. Because God was there. And then you know all the wonderful statements of God. And the peace of God which passes what? All understanding. Well, mount guard. Guard your heart and mind. You didn't do anything. You didn't put any wall up. You didn't do anything. You just are looking to God. And he does that. Because you are saved, if you're saved. And you have a unique oneness with him. That's unique. God, how unique is this? And I want to understand it. So therefore, God, you are immutable. That's right, I don't change. I'm the same before creation, during creation, and after creation. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, and you'll just read the statement. Malachi 3 and verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why aren't they consumed? Because God keeps his word, keeps his promises at all times. And therefore, knowing God, trusting the God of Abraham was God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, John, Paul, we're looking and we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. He doesn't change. So I read in the Bible about Abraham and the God who was faithful to Abraham is faithful right now. The God who was faithful with David is faithful right now. The God who was faithful with Paul, right now. I don't have a different God. Neither do you. We have one God. I need to understand. So when I read, I'm encouraged. I read the Bible to encourage and stimulate my heart. And it isn't for reading something about something, someone, something, somewhere in yesterday. All that is true. But the God who was outworking yesterday is the same God who continues to outwork today and tomorrow. So now, having said that, therefore I want to be very thankful. God is consistent with who he is. Going to be very thoughtful, thankful, thoughtful, trusting God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that because he doesn't change. So I'm stimulated to read the word. I'm stimulated to believe the word, to exercise who he is. Now, and secondly, we shared together that God was in his wonderful character, attribute, essence, nature. He is omnipresent. And that means he's everywhere all at once. Everywhere, all at once. And his presence, his wonderful, wasn't wonderful, wonderful presence. There is nowhere that he isn't. Nowhere that he isn't. God, you're always everywhere. That's right. Always, always everywhere. So now, God, and we looked at all to get a handle on that a little bit. So God, you are. I am never going to be in the place, God, since you're omnipresent. I will never be anywhere in forever that thou art not there. You always will be wherever I am. I will never be without you. And God, on the other hand, you, God, will never leave me. I will never leave you, and you will never leave me. He's omnipresent. I need to know that. So I don't. I got it. I'm never going to leave God, and he's never going to leave me. There's nowhere I'm ever going to go, ever, ever, in forever, that he isn't. Now, and thus, we share together God's wonderful omniscience. And God's omniscience, wonderful, wonderful omniscience. He's all-knowing, perfectly all-knowing, complete, unrestricted, eternal knowledge. At all times, he has all knowledge about all things, all at once. Nothing is ever absent, nothing is ever missing. There are no pieces ever missing in his knowledge. There is nothing God can know. He has it all at once. Because remember, there's no time to God. Time is for us. We live yesterday, and the clock goes by, and we live tomorrow, and the next day. But God doesn't have time. He doesn't have time. There is no time. When you step into eternity, like we did in 6 o'clock last time, when you step into eternity, there is no more time. It's called eternal life. If the Lord were to take us up tonight, then we will know you'll never look at a clock again. You'll never think about sunrise and sunset. You won't think about that no more. All over. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful, wonderful person, over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And in Isaiah 46, we share together God's presence, his wonderful person and presence. And I hope you trying to help you, I hope, in all of this. If you just understand God, it'll make a magnificent difference in your life. Magnificent. If you play with it, you'll never know. If you want to talk about it, never. No, you just have to go and say, wow, God help me. And you start doing that. And that is what pleases God. That's what God wants. Do you understand who I am? I said, I understand a little. I'm going to trust you. And then God displays his wonderful person in what he does. It's just because he's God. You say, I don't understand that. That's a problem. That isn't God's problem. That's our problem, not God's. God is there. It's our problem with God. Our unbelief, etc., our humanness, our academic, and every other reasons we try to reason out. You can't reason out God. How are you going to reason out God? You can't. And thus, God's wonderful, wonderful omniscience. He's all-knowing, all-knowing. Verse 10, chapter 46 of Isaiah. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure, I will do all that I wish in every way I can. And we share together God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful omnipresence is everywhere. I know everything. And I want you to know that I know everything in my omnipresence, omniscience, and in the process that you are to understand I know it all. So before you were ever born, I know every single second of your human existence. You were never born yet. But I already know every human second that you will ever be on earth to the very end. So when you trust me as your Savior, you're entering in to a wonderful relationship to someone, the Creator who has all the pieces. And thus, God, we have that you know, and we shared together last time. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have that, so that you know that God knows. And God knows all about you. God knows all about you from stem to stern, top to bottom. God knows all about you. And there's nothing hidden from him. And that's part of our problem with self-esteem and self-consciousness and security and love and everything else. We're busy trying to secure and procure and have some kind of protection so we aren't exposed. Because we know if we really were exposed, we wouldn't pass the test. If you really knew my heart, I'd never pass the test. Why not? And God already knows that. So now, just to review it for you quickly, Over, if you would, Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, picking up, if I can, in chapter 7, and going, please, to a great section. Romans chapter 7, and you know it, but we're going to look at it, at least visually, if we can. Verse 18. For I know that in me, this is Paul, saved, struggling to get his act together on how this whole, what does it mean to be saved? And verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I know that in me is no good thing. And down in verse 24, remember, O wretched man that I am, O miserable slave in the slave making carrying stone for the monuments and all chained going along miserable, and you don't get free of the chain till you die. Then they take you off and replace you. So, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now here we are, and we ought to be very conscious. You remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. Now that means sin. I mean, I'm not a bad person. No, you are sin, singular sin. All we have sin. What's our problem? We are not connected to God properly, and we are disconnected. So we need to be rightly connected. We are in the wrong place and the wrong condition, and therefore we cannot be connected. God, we've all sinned. Oh, that's right. And now as you get saved, and then, well, everything's good. Well, no, you have to understand that you got saved and that God did a wonderful thing in saving you. And you aren't having a resurrected body yet. You aren't in heaven, but you're right here. You got an old nature, and in your old nature, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body? 1 John 1, 8, 9, 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive whom? We deceive ourselves. You already are in the condition, so there's nothing to... God, do you know my condition? I do. I know it from the day you were born to the day you die. And when I died on the cross, I took that whole you from start to finish. With all of that collection of baggage, I took you to the cross. That's what I did. Now, so what are we to know? Well, we're to be very realistic and relax. And that's why someone said, how could you read Romans 7:18? How can it be? It's such a terrible verse. No, it's a wonderful verse. It isn't a terrible verse. It's reality. It's a wonderful thing. So I don't have to try. I don't have to hide. I don't have to hide from myself. I don't have to hide from anybody. No, God saved me. I didn't deserve it, and I have it. And that is a wonderful thing that God has done. And God said, and you're already there in Romans 7, over to chapter 8. You know, over in verse 8 and verse 14, verse 8. And going to verse 6, just to say, to lock it in, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed, by the way, can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh can never cannot please God. And thus, but that all being true, wonderfully true, wonderfully true, because I'm free. We said it last time. The truth, Romans 8:32, the truth will do what? Set you free. Free from what? And then you're trying to say, well, what am I a slave to? God has set you free from your being so that you can see yourself realistically, rightly. You can see yourself as you are. and understand God sees that. That's why Christ died. And in the same breath, Romans 8:14, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of adoption, bondage, again into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. And if we're heirs, we're joint heirs because of Christ, with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. God, we're sons. So we sit there, and you cannot think of it now. If you don't rightly understand that you're a sinner, you're apart from God, you don't have it. But if you understand that without apology and relax, you are what you are, and God has made you what you were not, a son. And you are really a son. You are genuinely a son. Genuine. You understand? You're really a son. Really. Just as I really am a sinner with an old nature, I am really a son. God, here I am, a son. That's right. That's right. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I am, on the one hand, bankrupt. And the world will look at me and say, what do you have that we don't? And I'd say, nothing in and of myself. I am as bankrupt as you are. But because of the saving grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ has given me, in my bankruptcy, on the one hand, my bankruptcy is truly there. In and of myself, I can do how much? Nothing. I'm bankrupt. But I'm bank rich in God. Both are true. I am bankrupt and bank rich. If you ask me to draw out of myself, I'm in poverty. If you ask me to draw out of my relationship to God, I am overflowing with riches. Overflowing with riches. And God, here I am. In your wonderful omniscience, God, you know all about it. And you know all about me. And what you've said is a wonderful thing. I don't deserve one drop of it, God. On my journey through time, here I am traveling, God. And over, if you would, Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. There's all kinds of ways to say this. This is a way. God, here we are going through time, and you know everything. So here I am. I haven't even reached tomorrow yet. I haven't even reached tonight yet. But here I am going through time, traveling, and you know everything about me. So I'm bankrupt, but bank rich. So here, Matthew chapter 6, what did you remind the people of Israel, if they would have paid attention? Chapter 6 and in verse 8. Be not ye, therefore, like unto them. Remember, they're trying to get something, have something, make something. Be not like unto them. Why not? For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So, God, I haven't got to tomorrow yet. But you have. See, I haven't got to next week yet, but you have. I haven't got to next year yet, but you have. You're already there. Uh-huh. Chapter 6. If you would. And in chapter 6, verse 32. I'll read verse 31 for a little better context. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? We're wondering, worrying, how things are going to come, and what are we going to do, and how are we going to do it? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of what? You have need of all these things. I already know what you need. you know, just tell me. God, I got to explain to you the need. God, I got to explain to you the need, the problem. And then I awaken, God, you already know the need, and you already know the problem. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Job 23 again. Job 23. And in Job 23, you know the wonderful little section there about Job's exercise. He's going through a great exercise, but just to remind you, in the light of God's omniscience, he knows everything. And therefore, what do we know? Job chapter 23, verse 9, a little bit, it's a great section. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. God, where are you in this? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God, you already know tomorrow. That's right, I do. I do. And I hope you know that I know. So that, and by the way, I am always right. I'm always reasonable. I'm always right and always reasonable in what I do. Always so. So you need to know that. We are not always reasonable, let alone right. We are not always reasonable. God is. God understands all the pieces. We don't. And God acts in a reasonable, merciful way in outworking something other than where we are. And remember, for each of our little lives, everything you fit in, you are not the center. You're a piece in a big picture. And everything that God does with you and you and me is in the light of the big picture. So you are not, we are not unto ourselves. We're unto him that made us and loved us and died. We're unto him. Not for ourselves. And we discovered that. We discovered it wasn't the whole world of my life isn't about me. It's about God's wonderful outworking. Now, having said that, but he knoweth the way that I take. God's wonderful, wonderful working. He has all the pieces. All the pieces. He knows all our yesterdays, all the tomorrows. And I am to recognize and rely upon his wonderful working, who he is. God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God. So now we'd add God's omnipotence. God's wonderful omnipotence. God's ability, you know, to be who he is. He has unlimited, eternal, infinite ability, power to be who he is. He can be who he is, wonderfully so. He has all the power to be who he is. He has all the power to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. There's nothing he can't do. He has all the power. He is omnipotent. And God, is that going to help us? Yes, it is, God, because I'm in your presence, and I'm wondering whether you can come to my aid or rescue me. I know you won't change. I know you know everything. I know you're present, so God, here I am. Now, over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. And there's a word we looked at, but just to remind us. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, God is going to encourage Abraham, who already has refused to take anything from the king of Sodom. He would have been rich, 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 rich. But he wouldn't take a shoelace from them. Not a shoelace would he take from them. No, sir. He's going to try. And God said, I'm your reward. Let's see. Well, I took 4 lottery tickets. And God, but I look to you. And there you are. God, all the lottery tickets in the world. Do you know? You know the little things you do. And they have all the gimmicks to sell everything, well, all that stuff. And they have the thing, you know, you have all the things. You get one of these 5 prizes. You're a winner. The number matches. See? And then you get the number, see? And then, wow, the number matches. Maybe I'm a winner, see? So, and you're the winner, and then you read in fine print. It's real fine. You'd have to pay attention to it. Remember the odds of you winning a new car are 1 in 7 zillion, and the odds of you winning a trip to Saybrook is 1 in 5,000, and all these different things, you know. And they have all of that. And then they have in the bottom one these gold coins. And then the numbers are reversed. The numbers are reversed on that in that particular section. And the numbers are reversed. You have a chance. You have 1,000,000-to-1 shot that you will win one of these gold coins. 1,000,000-to-1. So that means only one person can be a loser. Everyone has to get a gold coin, 5 of them. You see? And 5 gold coins, $5 actually, $5 if you go. Now here's $5. And with all of that, now God, we're trying to get it. Here's the jackpot. No, God, if I had 10 jackpots, if I had $10 zillion, if I was Bill Gates, he has a lot. Buffett, he does pretty good. Wow. Buffett and Mr. Gates, you couldn't compete with my God. You couldn't compete. My God will do everything that is proper in his will all the way to the end. That's my God. And I'll never come short if I trust him. And he will do what you and all the money in the world and all the government in the world couldn't do. You can do it, God. So why would I trust anyone except my Father? My Father. That's what I'm going to do. My Father knows. Now, having said that, here in chapter 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 90 years old and 99, that's 99, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai, and walk before me and be thou perfect. Perfect means complete, whole. All of God, I'm going to have all of God, and God has to have all of me. So it's an arrangement. God gives me all of himself, and I give all myself to God. And therefore, walk before me, live your life, Abraham, live your life before me, and do it with a whole heart. And God, I'm the Almighty God. I am the Omnipotent One, absolutely omnipotent. You know where the Lord would say Matthew 19, verse 26 and thereabouts, you know, all things that they said, a rich man couldn't even get in into heaven. It'd be easier for a camel to go through a sewing needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. And they said, that's impossible. Then no one could ever get to heaven. And God said, well, listen, it's true with humans, everything is impossible. But God said with me, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible. Not a thing is impossible. Not to me. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, saith Revelation. So now, God, you're going to be who you are. You're going to do what you do. you are wonderfully able to be who you are, wonderfully able to do what you do, to will whatever you will, you wish to do, and you will it to be done, it is done. You are omnipotent. So God, as we learn to trust you, then we understand, God, that we can't get hung up with the circumstances or the rationale of our reason. God, that doesn't sound reasonable. Well, God isn't going to work by reason. He's going to work by his goodwill. And he can do anything he wishes and stop the sun, like he did. Do anything. Open the Red Sea. Open the Jordan River. Do anything he wants. Kill, have Samson swing his jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 Philistines. Nothing to it. So God, here we are. So now, God, you are omnipotent. And you do what you are who you are, you will what you will, and you do what you do, and you're quite able to be God. Now, having said that, a little exercise, over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 14. Now, I'm going to go, have a little chain, I'm going to follow a thought and let it develop. So when I'm done, I got a picture. I didn't have part of a picture. I got a little good picture. Better. Now, chapter 14 of John, in the upper room, and picking up, if I may, directly in verse 13. And whatsoever, chapter 14 of John, verse 13. Whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why are you going to do that? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. You ask anything in my name, that the Father, that's the one, it's all about the Father's goodwill, the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, verse 14. You shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it. In my name, in my name, in my nature, essence, being. That's why we're looking, to remind ourselves of God's character. Immutable, omnipotent, omniscient. I need to know who you are, God. I need to understand. I don't want to be stupid and just say God, and I don't know anything else. I should have advanced a little. So I have that going for me. So now if you ask anything, if you ask anything in my name, because of who I am, that's why we're thinking, who are you, God? So I know. Otherwise, I'm not, my prayer life is going to be lousy. Is that all right? My prayer life is for the birds. Oh, we have a little prayer time when we do that. No, I don't want that kind of prayer time. I want something going, God, that is right down the line of where you are. Now, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without being interrupted. Let your relationship never stop. Never stop breathing. Never stop believing. Exercise. Now, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And in verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever shall ask, there's your word, in my name, in my name, he may give it you. You ask the Father in my name, you want. You're going to ask in my name, who I am, see. So when I say who I am, then I got to remember who you are. You're the immutable, all-knowing, all-wisdom, all-wise, ever-present God. So God, you're going to act like God, think like God, and do like God. So when I'm going to pray to you, I'm expecting you to be God. Now, and thus verse 16, the end of the verse, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. So the wonderful exercise of being a receiver of God's good will, God's wonderful will. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. If I may, verse 23. We're still in the upper room, remember. John 16, 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. I'm going to get so you understand what it's all about. Verse 26. In that day, after Pentecost, in that day, Acts chapter 2, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not, N-O-T, I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. I'm not going to pray to God. And not here you are praying, and then you look to Jesus in front of you and hope that Jesus turns around and talks to the Father, a mediator. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray, and then Jesus, and then hopefully he will listen to me and turn around and talk to the Father. That isn't going to happen. No, that's not what it's about. Verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that you will pray, that I will pray. I'm not going to pray. Oh, woe is us. Wrong. Finish. I will pray the Father for you. For reason, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God, out from God. You're going to talk to God, the Father. Because of me, I made possible all the wonderment of God. I am God. And I made wonderful arrangement for you to be able to deal with God in his magnificence. God the Father. Now, how can we do that? By way of God the Son. God the Son isn't to be looked to. It's God the Father. When God the Father is honored, all of the Godhead bodily is honored. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're all honored. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by me. My whole business, 1 Peter 3, is to get you to God. That's my assignment. When you come in my name, you come, and you're able to come. Remember the gloves? Where'd my funny gloves go? Oh, here they are. These are gloves. And, you know, you're going to come. Don't get scared now. If you come like this, you can't come. Different. This... can't do it. But if I come, in your name, in God, I'm going to come to you. I'm not coming in myself. I'm going to come in your name. And when I come in your name, the Father receives me. And God the Father and God the Son. And it comes together like that. And I am able to come in your name. It's not about me. I'm coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to glorify him, not glorify me, not glorify us, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. However, whoever, whenever, whatever, God, that's what it's all about. And I got to stand back and understand the big picture and all the pieces. I only have a couple of them, but God, you have them. So I'm able to just trust you. And let me work it out, said God. I want you to be able to trust me. And that's why I want you to come as little children. Little children are going to be totally dependent on the Father. That's how I want you to come. You say, it can't be that simple. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You have to learn it. Your dumb pride and personality and idiosyncrasies. Idiosyncrasies. That's our word, idiot. Just, I knew you'd want to know that. Idiosyncrasies. We got them. We got them all. We got them there. This is how we do. This is what we do. This is the way we do it. Well, God, there must be something you can help us to get into the place where we enjoy the exercise of being yours. Exercise of your wonderful presence. Now, over where you're here. Over, if you would, please, to 1 John chapter 5 in closing. 1 John 5. You have to ask in my name. Otherwise, you don't have any power. 1 John 5, you know, knowing that we have eternal life, verse 13. Go to verse 14. 5 and 14. And this is the confidence, the boldness, the frankness, the freeness we have. In Him. Then if we ask anything, according to His will, He heareth us. We aren't asking anything just for what we want. No, we're asking for God's will. Because God, you got a big picture in mind. And I want to go with the big picture. I don't want to get locked in to a little picture. Work, home, school, prayer, life, death, whatever. I don't want to get locked in. I want to get locked into the big picture. That way I'm free. Free to develop, free to grow. Big picture. Now. And so God, verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, and He does, if we ask according to His will, whatsoever we ask, whatever we ask, if you ask anything in my name, I what? I'll do it. You got it? That's why you do it. Because I told you, if you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. That's all. But shouldn't we discuss it? No, you don't have to discuss anything. If you want it, that's what you're going to do. That's all. You see? Don't make a big project out of it. It's just a wonderful thing. You ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Wow. Now, and I'll read verse 15 again. For if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. We know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. We already have them. We already have them. And that's how you live. You already have it. I already have God. I already have what I asked for. I asked for your goodwill. And then we proceed down the corridor of time with all of its bruises and bumps and ups and downs and hard, very hard things. God. But you know, God, if it was by myself, I'd be in trouble. But God, with you, you've got all the pieces. I don't have them. I can't answer. The government, I can't answer the terrorist, I can't answer the world, I can't answer the doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, God. God, you do. You'll have to help me. So now, in closing, over to Ephesians. In Ephesians, if you would, chapter 3. Ephesians, chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, picking up a little word in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, we couldn't possibly ask it. It's out of reach. Think of Romans 8, 26, 27. The Spirit of God is praying for us with groanings that what? It can't be uttered. Because we couldn't understand them. And what is He praying? According to the will of God. What are we praying? Something else. No, I want to line up with that. And then I'm carried right into the wonderful relationship to enjoy the presence of God no matter what. no matter who, no matter when, where. Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, now unto him be glory in the church. Here we are. God, what's it all about? We aren't sitting here for nothing. You know, this isn't an exercise, another study time. It can be that, but it better be more than that. It better be more than that. You're subjecting yourself to God's presence as a body of believers, and God is going to work with that. You can play the other game, and people do, and they go do. Forget it. You either are in, and you're with it, and that's what you want to do, and that's where God's going to work. And you're going to find people are weak, and they aren't strong, because they just aren't on the same page. They aren't moved. And God is going to help us inch by inch, not because of our intellect or our sincerity or anything. He's going to do it because we are gathered, hopefully, in his name, for his fame. That's why we're here. And God, I'll work it. And so we go back to our homes like we did a long time. We said it different times. You go back to your home, your job, your health, your wealth. And you go back and do it, and you go exercise. And you let God, here we are, God, and we go back out there, and then we come together again as a local body of believers, and God is going to stimulate us and add. God in his wonderful kindness will give us something next week if the Lord tarries. Next week, I don't know, I haven't got there yet. And there we are, and God is going to do it. And he's working. He already knows what you're going to face Thursday and Friday. And you're going to go through it. And God's going to exercise you, and either you're going to trust him or be indifferent or not going to open your Bible or read or think or anything about God until next Sunday. It's time to think about God. No, you're learning to do it. And that's how God develops, and that's how God works, and that's how it is. And you will grow and grow, and all of us will grow. All of us will develop. Because it isn't here. It isn't a club. It isn't a social club. It isn't a country club. We're just us. And God's doing a wonderful thing if we let him. But you have to understand God. You can't just sit and have a little something and put it in your notebook. What's that going to do? I don't know what it does. God, you have to help us. We got to get in where the game is played here. And it's a big-time thing, God. The whole world is right now moving. Seismic. Wow. And God, here we are. We have our place. And God is doing what he's doing in your life. God, help us. I hope. I just yell at you some more, but you got the idea. It's a wonderful thing. And that's what you're looking for. That's what it's all about. If you lose that, church is for the birds. Isn't it? I mean, what's the sense? What's the sense? Come and hear a little message and we go home. If that's all you got, you're no wonder people come and go. But you got to have more than that. You got to understand you are connected. You are seriously connected to an awesome God in whose presence we sit, who's immutable, and all the other attributes and characteristics of his marvelous person that we'll never know. Not until heaven will we ever know them. Wow. God's a wonderful God. He loves to take care of you. Do you understand that? God delights in taking care of you as a father. They say, well, my father never took care of me. Well, then that's too bad. But your father isn't God the Father. So don't mix up your father with God. Don't get that mixed up. God is Father. And God happens to be one real, wonderful Father. And he means, that's what you come to God, my Father. So we'll pray before I go on to 9 o'clock. You got the idea. I wish I could.